daddy, you know, as in your father. You read the book of Mac and now it's time to meet the author. Ain't no roller more precise than the model. Give the right words to follow like Iceberg and Donald. I follow the rules of engagement that I learned from the school of the basement when I move on the pavement. Cats don't understand what they facing. Stay patient, update your game like PlayStation.
Thomas Torreira, podcast 135, the first podcast of 2018. And what a cracking podcast. Finally, much requested, I've made it to a dark and windy part of London to track down an urban legend. I wasn't even sure if this guy still existed. But many of you who have followed me since 2010, maybe you read that first book, that scrappy book, and you've read about these urban legends, these mythical figures, and consistently I've had emails saying, can you get some of them on a podcast? And it's been difficult, you know? I've been here, there and everywhere, but finally I'm here. It's the night before the premiere of Hustle On, and I've made it to, I think I'm south of the river, so I've got to watch my back here. You know, got to watch my pockets. But I'm here with the grandfather of London pickup, certainly, but very, very well known. Two decades plus, I think, in the game. It's Robert Beck, not Iceberg Slim, sadly. He's on next week's podcast, but it's Baxter PUA. And if you've read book number one, that name crops up pretty early on, because you remember my original wing called Anthony. We were clueless, and the only guy we could find who would spare us a minute was a guy called Robert Beck in a bar in London. And that was the start of something bizarre. Utterly, utterly bizarre, utterly filthy. Took us down a rabbit hole, and I'm sitting next to him. 4 years later, I do believe. The last time I saw you was 4 years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Robert Beck. Baxter, all right, mate.
Right, mate, what I'm a bit miffed about is why I'm 135. That's what I want to know. What's going on here?
I was warming up. I had to do 134 warm-ups, but you're here, mate.
You're pretty warm now, aren't you?
I'm toasty. I'm in your flat, and I want to ask you a lot of questions.
Okay, what are your questions?
I want to interrogate you. And I was...
wine and dine me first.
I'm prepared for once in my life. I'm prepared. I've got notes. Step number one says kiss his arse. So we have to say who you are. And if you don't know who Robert Beck is, then what's the easiest introduction to Robert Beck? Are you written about somewhere? Can they read your biography somewhere?
Probably the easiest way to find me is thebexterlifestyle.com, right?
Insert the sound of money like a ching.
Yeah, ching ching. But also my YouTube channel is the same, The Bexter Lifestyle. And Instagram is Rob Baxter.
But I say you're a grandfather, not in a derogatory way. I say that because for guys that are just dabbling in this, if you go far back enough to people like Ross Jeffries, Neil Strauss, Mystery, then you find the name Robert Beck. So,
well, Baxter.
Baxter, yeah. Robert Beck, they'll find Iceberg Slim.
Yeah.
But you've been in it for literally two decades.
22 years. And since 1996.
Roaming Leicester Square in your long coat.
I pulled the old coat out for you to show you. The old lock, stock, two smoking barrels coat. I'm seeing girls that my coat's older than, you know, at the moment. But I have been doing it longer than I haven't. And since I was 18. So I thought it was 19, and then someone actually introduced me to it a long time ago. Said, no, you were 18 when I told you about it. So there you go. Then corrected.
Longer than the internet you've existed.
Yeah, there was no internet, yeah. It was all done on printed out paper and the odd cassette tape.
And that's not metaphorical. Last time I was here in this very room, 4 years ago, Rob suddenly said to me and Anthony, he said, oh, have a look at this, boys. And he got off a shelf this dusty box. It
was gold, but it had dust on it.
A lot of dust, a lot of filth, a lot of grime.
It was gold wrapped. I should say.
It's like a Blue Peter thing, you know, you'd make with your mum.
Capsule.
And he opened it up, and literally, pre-internet days, there were pieces of paper. This was probably before your iPhone voice
memos. I didn't have any of that.
They were routines, openers, spikes, stacks, qualifications.
It was about 20 e-books worth of stuff I'd just come back and wrote it all down.
I'm still bullying Baxter to publish more and film more, but it's all here in this house. This house is a time capsule. 20 years of pickup. So if you're not familiar with the history of pickup, I keep nagging you to read Mystery Method, and obviously you've read the game, but you need to do some digging and think, like, where did all this stuff come from? And eventually, if you're in the UK or Europe, you'll find the name Baxter because of, like I said, Ross Jeffries, Neil Strauss. Maybe you're a fan of RSD or you've read Mystery Method. All these people, they're not just names, you know them and you...
Well, I mean, a lot of people that you would know today have either been trained by us or been trained by someone we've trained, if that makes sense. And... You know, if as Mystery always says, if you've got the skill set to train someone to be a master, and then they can train someone to be a master, you know, you're made, you've sorted it.
The double whammy, passing
getting the girls is the easy bit. You know, there's many more pieces of the pie than you think than just getting the girl. And if your mind is just concentrated to getting the girl, and I must go out and get a girl tonight, just getting girls always, you're missing the point because. It will come to you in other areas of your life as well as picking up. I'm not saying don't go out. You should be going out at least 3 or 4 times a week, you know? Days or night.
Rob's touching my leg here. This is, I think we're getting meta.
Well, I'm actually, you know, doing a bit of mirroring and matching with you now.
But. Deep inside, this is the game within the game, which is a topic in itself.
Okay.
What do you call it?
Phases.
Phases.
Yeah. 6 phases.
Which day gamers miss out on unless you do a bit of social circle. But that's, save that. We'll come back to that. I've written down Alfie. Because when people ask me about Baxter, whether you told me to watch Alfie, I can't remember, but it was about that time that I watched the Michael Caine version of Alfie.
I told you to watch Michael Caine, yeah.
And that really is your life, in a way, for good and for bad. I adore that movie, and it sums up kind of London hustling. But you always said as well, watch the Jude Law version, The Cheeky Chap.
Both, yeah.
Personal favourite, Robert?
Personal favourite is the Michael Caine version, yeah. But I'm stuck in the middle of both. I'm my personality is both. I'm in the middle. There's a fine line.
If you've never met Rob or seen him talk, then I always say he's like a naughty schoolboy. So it's a bit like early Russell Brand. I don't know who came first, probably Baxter before Brand. But the naughtiness hides the danger, if you like. Girls are very...
You can get away with a bit
more. You can get away with a lot more. So if you don't know who Baxter is, that's our introduction. But I met you in 2010. I met you with that the guy Anthony, who's totally anonymous now. He's working in the city. And if you've read the first book, I talk about Baxter with things like entourage and sexual qualification. That was a big one. Rob took like 10 seconds. You looked at me in Jewel Bar, I think it was, and you said, Tom, you're good. You can open and talk, but you're, mate, you're not sexual. And that was the first time anyone had said to me, Tom, you, the girls have no idea what you're after.
Yeah.
So sexual qualification, that was number one.
Well, you don't want to cut, I'm sure many people can feel that when they talk to people, they feel like they're in an interview and the girl's like, oh, is this 20 questions? So that's where the vibe you were coming from. And all it needs is that little tweak and that little playfulness and that little cheeky chappy.
Yeah.
And then all changed for you.
And physicality, can you talk about early sexual qualification? Because I saw you do it very early on in Leicester Square, within 5 to 10 seconds.
You were going to say an exotic dance club, weren't you?
We can't talk about that, right? I don't ever associate...
Frequent.
Frequent exotic dance club. I saw you do it in the middle of Leicester Square. You'd talk to a girl.
What do you tell me?
It would be gutter game. We call it now gutter game, which is late night day game. You're chatting to a bird, but then it would get physical very fast.
Yeah.
And you'd say, I'm screening her. I'm sexually qualifying her. It was like
qualification,
It was sexual qualification.
They love to be qualified because, you know, that shows you are the man they're looking for. Otherwise, the other way around would be the girls qualifying you. And I'm sure that 99% of men out there are qualified by women.
Yeah.
You know, what do you do? Where are you from? Blah, 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 blah. Not that I'm asking you to ask them boring standard questions. You're qualifying with a much higher grade of question, like 3 criteria, for example.
I came up with that, right?
Come on, let's clear this.
I think in most of my talks, I mention the name Baxter when I talk about free criteria and qualification. But if I've missed it out, maybe I think in Girlfriend Sequence I mentioned Baxter because I held up the book and I said, this is the guy that taught me. But anyway, sexual qualification, physicality, But that wasn't the gold. The gold was when it was a night of Entourage game. Another thing that Baxter did with Anthony and I, he said, well, if you can do the gay game thing, get some numbers on the street and bring these girls to a club. And you might even get a bit of money. And we were like, Jesus, it's amazing. And then he said, and this is how we work the club. The girls sit down and the free drinks come and...
Baxter's, but you can't sell them that on the open. You have to still game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is not go, provider.
Yeah. By the by, are you, by the way? By the by.
Bipolar, Rob. Yes. But and you host them. You can't just sit them down and give them the drink. I remember you specifically saying, you know, I take the bottle. Watch what happens.
Yeah, but never give them the bottle.
Never.
You can tip a bit in their throat just to check their tonsils.
Leave them wanting more. But that was precisely, I can't remember the club, it probably doesn't even exist. It was the one by Oxford Street.
Begins with M, I think. What was it?
It's probably not even there. We had all these girls in, you did the drinks, yeah. And what usually happens is the girls then scatter when the music starts. And you would spike their emotions, and a girl kept coming up to me and saying, have you seen Rob? And I said, no, I haven't seen Rob. And then I would see you.
It's
and
the girls' toilets.
Yeah, behind the skip outside. And I'd say, mate, there's a girl looking for you. And you said, I know. This is the principle, right? She's going to chase. And that was the first time I had seen the power to push, make them chase. And I think we came back here or we were
it's
somewhere.
Two steps forward and one step back. It's one step forward, two steps back.
But it was so counterintuitive. Yeah. I would never push away a hot girl. She was nice. And we got even back here and you said, look, she's still texting me. Like, yeah. Where are you? I'm on the bus. Where are you? And you said, just leave her, man. Yeah. Just push her away.
Yeah.
So that
Mavida,
which is legendary.
Which is someone we did. Someone we did.
Mavida was good.
I don't know too many times out.
You know the principle.
Yeah, yeah.
Fractionation. That was like,
yeah.
You can't just pull, right? And even in the physicality with you, like the body rocking. I'm like, what is this? Why is he going in and then going out? And we just sat down and watched a bit of your infields, and it's like
still doing it.
Yeah, but 100 miles an hour in, and yeah. Then you just. Walk away.
Just literally walk off, yeah. Like, bye.
And to the average guy, that's completely counterintuitive.
Yeah, she's well, you want them to walk away so their jaw is dropped. And like, what the hell? Whirlwind roller coaster, that's what I always used to say. Do you remember that? Going like a whirlwind roller coaster.
You said a lot of shit, mate.
I know.
But you did say fractionation. Yeah. That was the first time I heard that word.
Yeah.
You said you can't be on them. And one of my still is. When I think she's on the hook, I'm just on. And if you don't give them that breathing space, she can't chase you.
Yeah, exactly. The game is to... The ultimate game is to get them to chase you. If they're not chasing you, you're not playing the game correctly.
It's the highest form of game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. It's them doing the...
Anyone can get a sloppy lay where you've had to claw and dig to get that lay, but... The real satisfaction is when they claw and dig to be with you.
It's the highest form of game, yeah. It's not it's not fool's mate. It's not like the Burger King lay.
No, and if you want a girlfriend, they're easy to make a girlfriend afterwards.
Yeah, because she's invested.
Totally. Deposits, I call it putting down deposits on you. So there's ways of doing that as well. You know, when you go to the bar and I give them a little nudge and I cover an empty drink and go, no, it's all right, I can get my own. And you can see that... The shock, and then you can calibrate from that. Are they going to say, well, I was going to get you one, and then you could play the game there? Or they're like, no, I weren't going to get you one, but you can see the cheekiness in their face. And
then you still do the sharp elbows opener.
Yeah, totally, yeah. Yeah, it works a treat, and it's quick.
Yeah, it's quick and dirty, in and out.
Quick and dirty.
Are you following me before I've even got there?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm giving away.
The thing is, because are you following me quite a lot?
Yeah. Flip the
with
script.
The peekaboo.
Flip the script.
But sometimes they're in front of you, so I had to come up with, are you following me before I've even got there?
Do you still do Entourage Game? Because it was a lot of work. I remember back in the day, you had lists of hundreds of girls, and it was like maintaining all these lists and club promotion and Entourage. Do you still do that?
Not much, but every now and then I'll put on a night where I want to bring a load of girls to.
Yeah.
So, you know, now and then, let's say, three times a year.
But it was good training, Jesus.
Oh, it's great training. Great training. Yeah. Great training.
Getting leads, getting them into a club, working them.
Yeah. I mean, but it is hard. It's a lot harder work than just trying to, you know, get laid, as it were. But you know, you do feel like a bit of a king. You know, you got your harem around you. So I was doing China Whites.
Yeah.
And it was a top club at its time. All the celebs went there. And I had the main table in the main room. And I had, in the VIP room, a little table that fit about 5 or 10, maybe at most. If you squeeze, if they were petite ones from Colombia or whatever.
And fun size.
Yeah, fun size. Right next to the owner of the place. And they said to me, you can promote if you, because I kept going there all the time and I'd always bring a load of nice girls. And they said, look, if you keep coming consistently, you can queue jump, we'll give you free drinks, we'll give you a table, and everyone comes for free, girls mainly, and you know, me and a few guys that I bring along, a few PUAs who were promoting with me. And you get paid for it. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to do that for, I did that for a couple of years just for shits and giggles, and obviously I'd take students out there on a night out, maybe do the odd boot camp. So they said, the maximum you can bring, and they laughed, is 100 girls. Like, I can do it. I said, I do things 10% more, so if I can bring 110, you got a deal. And they went, yeah, whatever, all right, cool. That night, 110 girls.
It's no joke. And there was one on King's Road.
What that was China called? Whites, though.
Was that China?
The other one wouldn't fit that many.
What was the one by the Ritz Hotel? Do you remember the old Prince Harry one?
We had Mayfair Club, and then opposite we had Mahiki.
Mahiki.
So we'd take girls into Mayfair Club, which was a normal club on a weekend, but a strip club on a weekday. So you had your stripper in there and that. And so you take them in there, and then about 1 o'clock, half one, you bounce them all over, which we know the bounce is very important. Yeah. Bounce them all over to Mahiki, fresh new drinks, fresh new table, fresh new vibe.
Yeah,
feels like a second date to the 100 girls,
especially Mahiki, Caribbean.
Yeah, exactly.
Hawaiian.
And then so you've done your bounce with that many girls, and then you bounce back to the pad with as many that will come back.
I had no idea that girls were like currency in London. I just had no idea that.
Yeah.
Like, and they even said, don't they, the hotter the bird would give you slightly more money get a bit more.
Yeah, yeah.
We're okay.
Yeah.
And they said, you get double
money for tens.
And you said to Anthony and me, look, if you can go out and get phone numbers, so why don't you just bounce them to the club and put them on the list? And we're like,
yeah,
win-win, boy. We didn't know the skill set pays.
Yeah.
You're like, fuck yeah. And then you let pre-selection kick in.
And it's a little thing if you need it, a little, like, twisting or a little bit of weapon to your Batman belt.
Definitely. Yeah, day gamers don't have experience with Entourage because we don't do it, and we can't really do pre-selection. We can't do merging because it's 1-on-1 or 2-on-1 max.
Yeah.
But then seeing that power, as you said, of just letting the girls fight it out.
Yeah.
A day gamer would never see that, and that's a different type of game. What are your levels? What level's that? Single set is level 1.
I mean, that's it depends what style we're talking, because my phases are through styles. So like phase 2 supernatural game, for example. Which is gone.
Sign up below.
No.
It's 9.
No, yeah, but do. No. Supernatural games.
Merging sets is level above.
Well, merging sets comes under the full out pickup.
Yep.
So that would be phase 1, technically, but a high end of phase 1.
But it shows you what day gamers are lacking then.
Yeah.
Because a day gamer wouldn't
so
know how to merge.
There's so much more levels to where you need to be.
Don't you go dissing the day game podcast.
No, I'm not dissing the day
game. But it is eye-opening.
I'm saying, don't just stick, you know, you should be practicing everything. Yep. Everything, because that will help your day game.
Yeah, if you...
The night game helped your day game, right? So you went back to day game.
Mixed sets helped. And an aggressive, like, Leicester Square gutter game helps. If you're just a sweet day gamer, you need to hit Leicester Square at, like, 1 a.m.
Yeah.
And you got guys...
Even if you do it for a year, hardcore, and then you'll go back to day game going... Rah!
One-on-one, yeah.
Yeah.
But the bigger topic, the juicier topic...
Oh, yeah.
It's Robert Beck is sitting here, and you are at the moment single. Yeah. And ever since I've known Baxter, every time I've met Baxter, the first girl I knew you with was a bisexual Finnish girl. Then there was a beautiful English stripper you had. Then you had another bisexual girl. So you seem to maintain your
three-way relationship for a while. And
3 is the magic number.
Yeah,
and said on Sesame Street,
and that ended up being 2 of us, and then that ended up being. Me now, just me. So I'm single again and out to train.
But you survived the bachelor years of with pulling girls with a girl, you know, an open relationship or a bisexual girl.
Yeah, I didn't hide my job.
In your eyes,
I included them in my job.
The only cock in the room theory.
Yeah, bring them into your life, you know.
But it's just, do you reckon it sustains it? It makes it more sustainable.
Yeah.
You can keep seducing girls with another girl.
Yeah, of course you can. Yeah, just they have to be aware of it. They have to be aware of what's going on. So if you're trying to do it and be sly,
we've all tried that
about it. Well, there you go. It doesn't work that well, does it?
It doesn't work. But even those bisexual girls, I had a Ukrainian recently, and it lasted about a year. She knew what I did, and then after a year,
she got a bit
cutting the bollocks off slightly.
Yeah.
Does that happen to you with even with the most bi?
Some get a bit jealous, you know, even if they say they're not. Some get a bit jealous, but yeah. You know, then I guess there needs to be a bit of spark of jealousy in every relationship, or it's not going to work, is it? You don't feel wanted or needed.
What's better? See, I got a good memory, mate. 4 years, and that brings us on nicely to routines versus just being yourself and crossing your fingers. And if you know my stuff, if you read the first book, you're very aware that I learnt routines, I learnt old school game, and I learnt half of Rob's material, which I still use. And what you do is you ingrain it to the point where suddenly you think it's natural. And you said to me, in the beginning, it's got to be what?
80% like pick up skills, you know, openers, routines, DHV stories, open loops, you know, all the stuff.
Structured, knowing what you're doing.
Totally.
Practicing like a comedian, tweaking it.
Yeah, and 20%, you know, what yourself. And then over time you reduce it 70-30 and so on. Until you literally switch it totally around. So it's now 20% the pickup stuff and 80% the new ingrained natural self, your new best self. Because even though it's really cool to stack openers and constantly do them, you get to where you do it naturally. You're naturally, like saying, you've ingrained all the routines and stories. So they just roll off the tongue, and you can tell them any way you want. They don't have to be totally scripted.
Yeah.
And that means you have now freestyle with a structure, which is what I call supernatural game, because you combine best of both worlds. And that's what I found by going to these China Whites and these top clubs that we used to go to, that you had the naturals in there to compete with.
Yeah.
Right? Because they were promoters. They were just quite natural women.
And some footballers and good-looking
exactly.
dudes, yeah.
So when I rose to the top in London as the PUA, then I went to the clubs and I had to rise to the top there. So now I had the best of both of these methods. I combined them together and my results went through the fucking roof.
Yeah.
And that's why I called it Supernatural Game.
But here's the disingenuous bit. With a guy who's come from your background and you know them because you either winged with them or taught them.
Yep.
And then there was a movement a few years ago where people were a little bit embarrassed about routines and they said, no, we're just going to teach guys to freestyle and to be themselves and to, you know, just work on them, their value, and that's enough. At the same time, these guys were spitting game in a club, and I'd freeze frame the video and say, I know that line, I know that story.
Yeah.
Because I know where it's...
And I'll start talking about shoes, and you know my shoe, I've got like a million shoe openers.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what women love.
And you just say, look, I know where that came from. And maybe you feel like it's natural now, but it wasn't natural in the beginning. Just like a good comedian.
It's not natural if they've said it more than like 3 times. It's not natural anymore, is it? It's now a script.
But it's an autopilot.
So like, no, I'm saying natural stuff. No, you've said that like 500 times.
Yeah,
it's
not
natural anymore.
Yeah.
And if they are just going, oh, your value just has to be enough, and you just have to say hello and have the intent and the honesty of it, then that's enough. No, you've just mentioned four bits of game out of like 500 bits of game that you could have had in your arsenal.
Yeah. No one's denying that value is important. No one's denying that meditation is important.
But that's only one little medal to your Boy Scouts.
Yeah. And there are guys out there just using their value, you know, Robbie Williams, God bless him, or who they are. But
you also have to remember, girls are watching them on TV, so they're following his life, so they're getting the rapport, you know, the sexuality, they're getting it all, actually, by watching him, hence, you know...
Jealousy, pre-selection.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Fame game.
Exactly. Funny enough, sometimes when I bring girls back, and some that have turned into my girlfriend, I'll just stick my YouTube channel on and go for a shower.
It's porn YouTube channel.
Pornhub. I stick my Pornhub on and go for a wank and a joke.
Out of fetishes. That's another topic. Have we got time? Yeah.
Tom, what are we on?
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, we're good. All right.
We're good. This good. Seems to be long and hard, Robert.
Yeah.
We'll go deep inside another day. But I only glimpsed this with you. I think you took me to this really bizarre BDSM meetup, right? You might not remember.
Keep going.
We'll just spill the beans, yeah. It was in a pub.
You spilled your beans.
I did in a pub. I got banned. It was just like a meet, and I was so naive. I was a primary school teacher at the time. And Rob's like, just come along to this meetup. There's like Dom's. And it was in like the middle of the afternoon in, I can't even remember where it was. But yeah, you started introducing me to, okay, you get bisexual girl, and then you have these things, and there's other layers, and London has these other layers that you don't know about,
it's all
Tom.
Language as well, yeah.
But you do this a lot. It's always been part of your...
Listen, when I started 22 years ago, in that same week, I went to a fetish club and started, you know, all that fun, being a dom and all that. I started pickup. Pickup was just before it, like 2 days before it. And I started learning NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. So my mind just went boom, 18 years old. It just went boom, expanded into these golden nuggets of like... Each of them will change your life. Each of them, one aspects of what I mentioned, will change your life completely. Mm-hmm. Cold approach the most. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, in that first week, my mind was altered immensely, and it changed me. It changed me as a person.
But you still have the, like, cold approach is not enough for you, really. There's a kinky side to it, and the fetish club
fun.
Side to it. And
it's all fun. Well, I find people in the fetish scene, shall we say, and that doesn't mean... See, people think that means, like, just bending people over a bench, even though I do have one in my living room, and spanking the shit out of them. That's not necessarily it. It could be anything. There's a million fetishes. Like, there's, like, many types of game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So, it could, you know, it could be that you just like bisexual girls, or you could be you like having two girlfriends at once, which I've done many times. You know, that it, what is your thing? It could be just the fashion of it. You know, you like might be looking at girls in latex. You might like girls in high heels. Yeah, it doesn't mean like you need to do ultra crazy shit.
No, for birds, it's often psychological, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's
a psychological game. You
50
know?
Shades of Grey.
So, you know, you could be a bit alpha, you can be a bit more dom.
But is that.
Collar them up, pull them both through. You know? That's what I've done.
As I look above me, there's hooks on Robert's ceiling. And yeah, it's like being in the sex museum in Amsterdam. There's a device. I just can't believe that's just on show. A bird walks up here for a cup of tea.
Well,
and
it gets the ball rolling, doesn't it?
Quite literally, yeah.
Yeah.
Gagging and choking. But
is that going to be your thumbnail on my spanking bench?
2018, we've got to finish with what are you doing? I haven't seen you for 4 years, and I know you're still teaching. I've just seen a shitload of...
Infield
from Finland, which I'm like, Rob, what are you... He's like, yeah, these are just on the hard drive. I'm not really doing anything with them. I'm like, right, okay, mate. So that's a name for 2018. I think to like put down this shoebox of material that has to be put down.
I'll get my golden shoebox out and we can thrash it all out.
It needs to be,
as the nun said to the bishop.
Yeah, it needs to literally be thrashed out on that table. But what are you doing in 2018? You're in London, but where are you going and what are you doing and what's the website now? Because the last I heard it was. Baxter Lifestyle.
So yeah, the Baxter Lifestyle is sort of my lifestyle / pickup. And it does videos and it does training, like live training, and it does products. So it's just my little fun thing that I've always done.
Yeah.
But I'm also working with Mystery. Mystery and I are business partners, friends, and you know, we travel the world together touring and doing our thing, our golden ticket events. So,
sounds like Willy Wonka's chocolate.
Yeah, well, it is. It sort of is.
I suppose
bit.
He is. Yeah.
And well, yeah. We show magic, you know, magical not, secrets.
Not to children.
Yeah.
But where? Not, where yeah, where's this road show coming? Where's the Barnum Circus?
Well,
where's the world? Where are you
the
going this year?
The cure all elixir. I elixir. So yeah, we're doing Brazil. So we're doing São Paulo.
Rio.
I forget that. Rio and Philopolis. I can't remember the middle one.
That's the only two cities I know.
Yeah, and then we're going to South America.
Yeah.
And we're doing Peru and Argentina and yep. Chile or something. Right? Yeah, anyway, it'll be on the website. Check it out.
That's quite soon, is it?
Yeah,
for that's for our British winter.
The first one's 20th of January, and that will be in São Paulo. And so we're doing a 2-day boot camp, Mystery and I. That's pretty, infield.
That's pretty soon.
Hands on.
Yep.
And
escaping the British winters always.
Yeah, and do you know what? Because it's out in Brazil, we've actually made it a lot cheaper than a normal boot camp would be in Europe. So it pays for your flight and your hotel. Just get out there and do it. It's the same price as it would be doing it in Europe or America. Because, you know,
I'm surprised you're allowed into South America, Robert. But are you still going to Finland?
That's why
for
I'm growing this beard.
What's the annual festival in Finland where everybody looks like a sailor?
The anal festival in Finland is Vapu. Yeah, we're doing a big event. It's a 5-day event in Vapu, which means the start of May Day, like May Day, 1st of May.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the whole city turns out for 2 days, and it's like the best day game fest you've ever seen in your
bizarre,
life.
Yeah, because you've got introverted, slightly odd girls suddenly becoming loud, extrovert and drunk.
Yeah,
on the street.
It's just amazing. It's amazing. The women are so beautiful. Yeah. I love them. They're like angels. Yeah. I call it Fitland, not Finland.
Funland, Winland.
Yeah, Funland, Winland.
Finland. Anywhere else you're going this year?
What else on the cards? We're going to do Barcelona.
Yeah.
As well. Lisbon in Portugal.
Yeah, Lisboa.
Yeah, and Tel Aviv. So a few of them we've done already last year, which we filmed, put into a nice little product. Not out yet. Tom's like telling me off. He's like, let's get this show on the road. Like,
4 years ago, I probably had the same conversation. Me and Anthony looked at all of Rob's stuff and we're like, oh, this is bloody good, Rob. Right.
Well, Johnny Strong's actually going to be helping me with it. So he's going to help me push me through it. He's like, pick some music for it. And all I've got to do is hit render.
Funny enough, John's here. Hello, John.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
John, Jonathan.
Johnny.
Johnny.
Strong, yeah.
And how do you guys know each other? What's your relationship with Robert?
Well, I'll let you say about it.
Legally.
Well, I met Rob, what was it?
Tinder?
It was in outside that club.
Yeah, I started doing day game it was very early 2015. And I wasn't getting anywhere, and I started coming down to London, because I'm from Coventry originally, to try and do more sets, because I'd gamed every girl in my hometown, basically. Yeah. And in October 2016, I saw Rob outside of Café de Paris, and I said, I saw you on that BBC Three thing, and we got chatting. And
what was I doing out there?
He was
busking, begging.
You were standing there wearing like a really sharp suit. And I remember thinking, you kind of looked a bit like James Bond because you can't lean against the wall.
Don't inflate your ego anymore, mate.
And just looking very chilled. And I just sort of went over and I was like, oh, are you Baxter? And he was like, yeah. And he was really, really kind, really, really polite. And I remember showing him some texts from a girl that I just got an offer from, asking for some help. And his advice got me the date with a girl as well. And, you know, since then, I've kind of taken on what I call the Baxterism, so I kind of use, you know, wanted or needed and three criteria.
Need therapy for that, mate. It took me years. I was going through some counselling for the filth on my body after hanging around Rob. But no, total immersion. I mean, talk about, you know, speeding up the learning process, living with somebody and watching it. But grandfather time is upon us, gentlemen. And thank you to Johnny. Are you coming tomorrow, John?
Absolutely.
God bless you. Tomorrow is the premiere of Hustle On.
When's this podcast out?
This will be out in about 5 days when I'll be in Abu Dhabi.
So it will be done by then. The documentary will be shown by then.
It'll be shown. Girls will be approaching me. That's the whole idea. Screaming my name as I walk down the street.
Yeah.
I'm over picker. Fuck that.
It's your baby.
It's for losers, yeah. That's the thing. But if you don't hear from me ever again, I'm somewhere in Abu Dhabi.
Right.
In the desert. My body's in one place and my head's...
They've got a Flintstones hotel there.
Oh, well.
Abu Dhabi do.
And on that note, fuck me. How do you live with this guy? That was podcast 135, I think, with Baxter and Johnny. From me, ta-da, from Baxter, ta-da.
It's been emotional.
It's been a pleasure deep inside.
Thank you. Stay patient. Update your game like PlayStation. You're still soft. Represent your skills poorly. Vigorous pain that you about to feel shortly. Cats I kill softly as blood spills off me. Get more bucks than Milwaukee. Keep it real for me.